From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message entitled, The Certainty and Nature of Answered Prayer, the fourth in a series dealing with the vital matter of prayer. From the text in Matthew 6, verse 6, Dr. Cairns is seeking to explain the difficulties some Christians have concerning God's promises about prayer and the apparent failure to receive answers to some of their prayers. The Bible makes it clear that God has a higher purpose in mind than merely granting our every request. Often He is seeking to cause us to trust Him more, or to seek after Him more than any earthly desire. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly. But first, he draws attention to the simple explanation of the gospel, as found in his booklet, A New Beginning, a publication designed for those who are serious about learning how to be saved and how to grow in the Christian life. Today, from that publication, he emphasizes the love of God.
I don't suppose that there's a more overworked word in the world than the word love. People love what they eat. They love the car they drive. They love the chair they sit in. They love the wallpaper that's on the wall. They love the color of the paint on the door. They love their children. They love their wives. They love their exercise. They love their job. You know, the word love, it's so overworked. And then, of course, it has been cheapened to cover even the most filthy, the basest of human lusts. Hollywood turns out vile, filthy, fornicating activity, and it glorifies it with the title of love. Going into sin, committing adultery, they call making love. What a cheapening of the word. But you know, when God speaks of love, He means love at its very purest, love at its very greatest. He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. That love is something that the world, if it hadn't got a Bible, would know nothing about. This is not just a feeling of benevolence. This word does not describe a mere wishful thinking. Oh, I wish I could do so much for these people. This is an action word. This is a word of decision, a word of divine decree. It is a word of divine determination. It is a word whereby God commits Himself to procure and produce the good of the people who are the objects of His love. That's the idea. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In what way did God love the world? He loved it in this way, that whosoever believes in Christ should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Now, such a great thing is this love, that according to Romans chapter 5, God commends His love toward us. God commends it to us. He presents it to us as something He wants us to receive. He wants us to understand how wonderful and glorious and blessed this love really is. Stop and think of it. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, for we didn't, but that God loved us. That's a wonderful thing. And how did he love us? He gave his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the sacrifice, to put away the wrath of God against our sin, to be the propitiation for our sins. This is love at its very greatest. John 3:16 is the greatest love story ever told. Have you received God's love gift, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been moved by the love of God to bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus, thank Him for coming into the world to save a sinner such as you, thank Him for His invitation to come and receive eternal life from His hand? Have you ever bowed, broken before Him by the vastness of His love, to receive Him as your Lord and your Savior? Oh, do not turn away from the greatest love story ever told. Do not let the world's cheapening of this word love blind you or harden you to the glorious beauty of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Never forget, God is love.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, to which Dr. Cairns made reference earlier in the broadcast. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Yourself, if you're a parent, with all the love and all the willingness that you have to supply the cries and the needs of children, yet your purpose will dictate whether you respond in one way or another. It will determine whether you give, what you give, how much you give, and when you give, if you're a wise parent. Why? Because your purpose in answering the cry of your child is not merely to show your love. It is not even merely to satisfy an immediate desire. But it is to go beyond that, and it is to build that child, to edify it, to do it good. Even when it doesn't understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Now lift that up to the spiritual realm. Your Father will reward you openly, said Jesus. Your Father, He's answering us. As our Father in all His wisdom. He has many purposes. As we have read in Matthew 7 today, in verse 11, He purposes to provide provision for us, to give us the good things. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to His children who are asking Him? He purposes to provide us with protection. Isaiah 41 is a favorite passage of mine and shows that very, very clearly. But beyond that, He purposes to give us instruction. One of the things a parent has in mind as he or she responds to the cries of an infant or a child or maybe a grown offspring is to teach that child to make sure that the giving is part of the building up of that child. That's the way it is with the Lord.
He must teach us to trust Him. He must teach us to glorify Him. Think of Paul. Was there a man in the whole New Testament church who could pray like Paul? May have been, but I'll tell you, if there were, even among the apostles, they were very few. Was there a man who had such access to God as Paul? I doubt it. 2 Corinthians 12 leads you to believe that Paul had visions of God and of glory that were so great that it was illegal even to speak about them. Now think of what John saw and recorded of the book of Revelation. But all that was recorded except for one little part where the Lord said, "Don't write." What did Paul see? How close was Paul to God? And yet, he had his thorn in the flesh. Now, it was something physical. It was something detrimental to his happiness. The indications are, if the scholarly work on this is right, that it was painful. It was ugly even to look at. The pictures we have of Paul from ancient history, you know, wouldn't make him a favorite TV preacher. Small, bow-legged, with serious eye problems that made him look ugly to the view. Real good candidate for the 700 Club, isn't he? No. So what more natural thing in the world that this man who had such access to God, this man who had raised the dead, this man who had touched the sick and infirm and seen them healed, this man who had such miracles that people even walking in his shadow would know the power of God's healing grace, he would cry to God, "Lord, take this away from me." No answer. The second time, "Lord, take this away from me." No answer. The third time, "Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh from me." Now comes the answer. What was it? "Keep your thorn," which was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. "Keep your thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. And though it hurts you to be weak and an object of ridicule and scorn, yet the weaker you are, the greater my glory when the power of God flows through you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And that was God's answer. He was instructing Paul to trust Him and to glorify Him. One of the hardest things to learn in prayer. And also the Lord intends to mature us. Our maturity is one of His great purposes. Again, take the example of the parent and the child. I'm sure you have seen. I hope I'm not describing anybody here. I certainly have no one in mind. But I hope I'm not. And if I am, I hope that you'll take it not from me, but as from God, and learn a bit of sense. But I'm sure we have all been. You've been in a grocery store, and you've seen this mother trailing around this terror by the hand. And he's yelling and squealing and spitting and kicking, and he's doing everything. And he has her. Now, be quiet. I'll promise you this. What he really needs is we'll not go into that. But we all know what he needs. "Give me this, give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that." And this poor woman is giving this and that and the other thing to try and shut this little mouth up. What's she raising? She's raising an undisciplined, selfish yap. And that's to put it nicely. She's not training a child for life. She's taking the easy way out. Anything for peace of mind. But if she's going to be wise, oh yes, there'll be times when she will give. But there will be times when she will not give. Maybe because the thing itself is ill-considered. If your child asks for a sharp knife because he likes the glitter of the light on the steel, are you going to give it to him? You do, and you'll end up in court and probably spend 15 years in jail. Not very wise. There are certain things a child wants you don't give. Why? Because first, it's not asking according to your will. Secondly, it's not asking according to wisdom. Oh, it feels it needs it. It feels it wants it. But a wise parent doesn't always give it. You see, the whole idea in responding to a child is not just the idea of what you do in the moment. The idea is building the child, maturing the child, so that there comes the time when that child is able to look at the world and make its decisions on a right and holy basis. That's what the Lord does with us. Communion with God aims at conformity to Him. Prayer is part of God's plan to make us after the image of Christ. Part of the problem of unanswered prayer is that we're like those children. Sometimes we ask ignorantly. And what we ask for is not what we need at all. Other times we ask immaturely. And other times we ask prematurely. And the Lord, as our Father in heaven, is going to keep all those things in mind as He responds to us. Let me deal with this one final way very quickly. God's answers to our prayers flow directly out of communion with Him. That's obvious from the words of the text. Pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now that will answer finally every difficulty we have about getting answers to prayer. When you get into the secret place, that's the place of communion. Now listen to me very carefully. In communion, we submit our understanding to His. The Lord knows our need. Now we should know what we're asking. We should seek to understand what we really need. Why we need it, what we're asking and why we're asking. We must not simply multiply words in prayer. We must pray with understanding, but we must submit that to the Lord, for He knows our needs better than we do. He understands what we're asking better than we do. He understands all that the asking entails and all that the answer would entail. He knows how best to answer. And sometimes He may substitute one answer for another. He may give a better thing than what we ask for. Isn't that the plain meaning of Ephesians 3? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or even think. So when we come to commune with God, we submit our understanding to Him. And then we submit our will to His will. When we pray, we say, Thy will be done. With Christ, we say, not my will, but Thine. Now let me tell you, that there's a text that very often is in my mind. You very rarely hear a preacher preach on it. But it's a very important one. Tells us that we should recognize the danger of willfulness when we come to pray. Psalm 106, verse 15. He gave them their request. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Be very careful about demanding of God. Be very careful about this attitude that I will not submit my will. I demand to have it. When we are asking in the will of God for the glory of God, that's one thing we can say, I will not let you go until you bless me, and unless you bless me. But when we have no conscious realization of the will of God, rather than demand, we would be far better to come to know God's will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.